Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 and WHUT-TV. I'm Harold Fisher. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. My guests are Misha Green, Managing Editor with The Washington Informer, and Sonia Ross, Editor-in-Chief for Black Women Unmuted. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly you are welcome to X me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let's talk to Aisha. I believe that's the correct pronunciation. Forgive me if I butchered your name. What's on your mind?
No, that's correct. It's Aisha. I'm also going to be a regular official on your show because this is my third time getting through, so I'm honored to be on the show again.
Well, thank you. You got good luck.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm huge with this topic because it's something that resonates so much with me. I grew up in D.C. when, you know, it was really bad, the crack epidemic. And what I see is just a lack of, you know, fathers, or if not fathers, some sort of role models. I think the youth, they're screaming out for help. They're screaming out for love. They don't feel loved. You know, they don't have that village. Like they say, you need more than your mom and your dad. And in these cases, they don't have that. You know, you need your aunt. Like, for example, my nephew and my son, they have so many people around them, like my brother, their dads, my cousin. They go to a sports facility where they have a lot of men in there that, you know, set them straight and keep them on the path, and that's what we don't have. And I'm tired of saying we don't have it, because we do have it available, and we just need to step up. We need to stop talking. Black people love to talk, but we need to go into action and just help the youth and be there for them, speak to them. A lot of times we don't speak to them. We just pass them by. They're, you know, we have to acknowledge them, smile at them, say, do you need something? Help them.
Yeah.
That's what's lacking in our community. We don't care anymore. I think that as Black people, we've adopted how, not to be offensive, but how kind of Europeans are, where we don't tend to, you know, we're adopting that, like, don't talk to each other, and losing that family that we had, say, with our ancestors. We need to get that back, period. And we need to start organizations. It's enough of us who are successful that can help the youth.
Yeah. Aisha, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Crystal calling from Maryland. Crystal, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi.
I
had some input. So I experienced this first. Through the pandemic, my child, he's no angel. He got in quite a bit of trouble in the district.
How old is your child? How old is he?
He's 17 now.
He's 17. Okay.
So with these carjacking. And during the pandemic, these facilities were so overrun with these children. So they were not punishing them. They were telling these children pretty much that it's okay to do these things, and there are going to be no consequences. And this starts with our local justice system and the people that we're putting in. And that's why it's so important that we vote. Because Mayor Mario Bowser, he's now making all these press conferences. Oh, this is getting out of hand. Punish them, punish them, punish them. But during the pandemic, she was in a place of leadership to say, no, these children have to pay for their consequences. And that's not what happened.
Crystal, I have a question for you. I want to back this up just a little bit. You said that your son got into quite a bit of trouble. How do you believe that happened?
Oh, I think during the pandemic, we had these children inside for so long with no activity. These children were like dying to get outside. And when they were getting outside, they weren't doing the right things with their time. And that's because so many of our activities were closed. There was no football, there was no school, there was no interaction, there was nothing to do but go outside and get in trouble. Most of the, you know, boys and girls clubs and all of those things, they were closed down during the pandemic.
So let me ask you one more question, because I think you are actually the very first parent on this program since we began talking about this issue that we have an opportunity to speak to. After your son carjacked the car, did you have an opportunity to ask him why he did it?
I asked him why, and his response was, because everybody else wanted to. And
Yeah, you know, and see, that's interesting. And on this program, several weeks ago, we had a, I would like to call an elder statesman returning citizen call in. A gentleman who had spent some 33 years behind bars. And I asked him when he said he committed, I think, his first crime when he was 13. And he spoke about, at 13 years old, peer pressure. Or as Crystal just shared with us, everybody else is doing it. I think, and Crystal, thank you so much for sharing your story with us and being so transparent. And certainly we wish you all the best as you continue to support your son. But I would say we need to address the everybody else is doing it issue.
Right.
Because we need to stop the one from doing it so that the other parents can stop another one from doing it so that we can stop everybody else from doing this.
Well, we need to give everybody something to do. Something positive, something that allows them to feel like they are contributing to society, because that's really what they want. They want to feel important. You know, going back to what I was saying earlier and what Aishi had said about men or elders in the community saying hello. Of course, there's that risk of, you don't know the crazy kid that you get that's going to say, you know, shut up and try to cuss you out and maybe pull out a weapon. Mm-hmm. But it's being just showing that you care, right? You said you would never talk back because there were so many elders that made a point of saying, hi, Harold, when you were just walking around and minding your business or whatever, or not minding your business, and you know that somebody was watching. And so I think if we give people something to do, I remember the young people in my neighborhood and some of the ones who have used to get in trouble, but who would love to get paid to rake leaves, right? Just because the old lady saw that they were doing nothing and so would give them $5 to do it, or to help walk the dogs of some of the older folks in the neighborhood. Just giving them an outlet outside of the very necessary programs that we need in the district, I think would make a difference. If we see something in the community, it's up to us to sort of be the village that the young people need.
And Sonya, let me take you back. This is the first time on the program, but I know, I absolutely know that your mama or your auntie said when you did something dumb because Rachel down the street did it, she popped you in the back of your head and you said, okay, so everybody's going to jump off the cliff, so you're going to jump with them?
Well, you know, we do need to talk about this everybody's doing it thing. Because it's taken on a new dimension with social media, with this generation of young people. You've got these TikTok challenges off the grid, and you pair that with that normal, and yes, it is normal, adolescent desire to fit in, to be part of the in crowd, to do the cool stuff. It only takes one little idiot to declare something cool. And what do we see happening with the TikTok challenges? Children setting their genitalia on fire, for example. Trying to jump off of high.
I'm glad I missed that one.
Set your underwear. Okay, it was the underwear, whatever. But yeah.
And that was the risk, though.
Yes. And it's something about that whole risk thing.
Oh, my gracious.
And you pair that with rampant social media reach. And it may very well already be past the point for parents or adults to have any sort of influence over that. So, I mean, before the internet, here in D.C., you had young people who did the thrill thing of riding through Rock Creek Park with the headlights off, for example.
Yes.
Things that they do because that's the trend or that's the cool thing. And put some positive activity out there. And there will be one kid who will go, oh, that's corny or that's not cool. So helping to define what they consider to be cool might be the avenue to get at that.
Well, you know, I just have to say what's not cool is when they're saying rest in peace.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And that needs to be just as viral as these challenges. Not because we need another sad reminder of the tragedies that face this world today, but because they need to understand that if they don't choose that option of the after school pickleball or something. Mm-hmm. Pickleball is not cool. I'm sorry, y'all.
It's not.
Confined to something cooler.
You know, get them to the chess club. They,
go-go dance team, whatever it is. If that can't be cool, what really they need to know is not cool is when you're saying rest in peace to a friend.
Before I go back to the phone lines real quick, we need to jump to the next topic because this is connected with the pilot program for the digital car theft tags that the mayor and the police chief have rolled out to track your car in the event that it is stolen. There is a better opportunity for you to get it back. I think it's interesting, Sonia, that now this is a government-sponsored program where people have been doing this, and car companies have also been doing this. Full transparency, back when, you know, when my father was entering into his first signs of dementia, thank goodness for the General Motors and that OnStar system. Mm-hmm. His was off. He hadn't paid the monthly fee, but they could still track his car in real time. Now all you need is this little disc, and you're going to put it in your car, and they can find your car when it's stolen. So who does that help? Does it help us as far as our insurance rates? Does it help police? Because it's not going to prevent your car from being stolen.
At the minimum, it'll give you the comfort of knowing what happened to your car. Mm-hmm. But can you get it back? Maybe. Maybe not. Would you want it back?
Yeah, what condition is it in?
Would you want it back? Especially if it's got bullet holes in it.
Right.
But as far as air tags go, I could use some air tags on everything. I think we need air tags on a lot of things in this life.
On our children.
Put them on the children so you will know where they are.
It's so funny because...
Yeah, swallow this.
I love the beauty that following people's location has brought to this world. I just saw a meme or GIF or whatever they say the other day of a parent talking about how I'm so sorry, my child, that you didn't know where I was for until right. You forced me to share my location. I love it. I check my mom's location all the time. So it goes both ways. But this issue here, I just think, is the funniest little Band-Aid. I don't know what type of setup the D.C. government has with Apple, but, I mean, cool that some people will be able to save $30 in getting this done. Mm-hmm. Now, the one benefit is because we know, per our last conversation, is that carjacking is happening with the young people, is that a lot of times people will find their cars a day or two later crashed and on the side of a building. But it's, you know, once with a little repair and TLC, they can use their vehicle again. And someone, and I think that's really been a trend in the district for a couple of decades of car theft, but people finding it even months or years later. And so with that benefit, without the bullet holes or a total loss, then, you know, the Apple tags might do something.
But what about the Android folks?
Well,
That's a whole other
Don't hate on the Androids.
Yes,
okay?
I am.
I'm Android nation. But nothing beats a failure but a try, right?
That's true.
So it's worth exploring. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you got to try something. If there weren't this creative solution out there, some other solution would have to be reached, but she's reaching for a solution.
Yeah.
The mayor's going for a solution.
Absolutely.
Can't argue about that.
Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. DJ calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. How you doing?
Doing just fine.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm 58, just turned 58 October.
And you made it. You, good for you.
I made it. I feel like I'm just skating, but I have children out of D.C. and coming up in the 80s, I remember, you know, the grandmothers used to say, I'll go out and get a switch. And, you know, a lot of the kids that grew up and made it and skated through, we got our butts tore up. And we went out there and got our own whippings. And all of a sudden, when the government just changed that and called it abuse, I think the parents are just feel like they lost. You know, you can't discipline a child who upside his head with a switch. And, you know, you ain't talking about killing a kid, but you're talking about if you touch the stove and it's hot and you do it again, then you know it's not the right thing to do. But they don't have no consequences now. And they got parents are scared because the kids are going to call the cops on them. And now they all got guns. And so, you know, our generation has really lost its values. I think what the government needs to do, or someone needs to really get in the government's, put a 3 foot in the government's yang yang and let them know that these kids are a different, they're a different breed. Hate to say it like that, but kids that comes from the African descent, if they don't have no structure, they are going to run wild.
Yeah.
And if you put guns
yeah.
and let them get access to drugs and their minds are gone, there's no way in the world that a 12-year-old kid should be able to come up to an adult with a gun and try to take his car.
No, let me say, DJ, there's no reason that a 12-year-old child should be out on a Saturday night at 10 o'clock by himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's...
You feel me?
Yeah.
At least thinking that they can even have the audacity to even want to be out.
Right.
But it's got to be something that's deep-rooted that the parents of this feel that, and I know a lot of the good parents, they're working hard, they're trying, they're putting the roof, they're putting food on the table, but it's just not parenting.
Yeah. Parenting, DJ, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Parenting is a major, major issue right now with the young people. So again, thank you so much. Iris calling from Maryland. Iris, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, DJ has addressed my concern too. I'm an old school parent, single mom, raised my daughter and threatened her to do anything that she was not supposed to do. You're supposed to respect anybody taller than you. I stayed engaged with the teachers, the community, and parents, I think today, yes, I heard what DJ said because of the system saying you can't discipline your child, but this is my roof. Children don't have rooms in my house. You sleep here, but that is my room. I can go through your room and see if you're bringing anything in there that is inappropriate. I grew up, if even I had a piece of candy from somebody, my parents would say, hey, where did you get that from?
Yes, parents, absolutely.
You have to know. You must know your child. You can't blame the school system. You can't blame the policeman. You can't blame anybody else because that's your roof. And you need to know what's going on in your roof. And my child, when we go out together. If we, and yes, she had friends, I would know her friends.
Yes.
I'm still a friend, parent friend to her friends. And my daughter's 30 years old.
Well, there you go.
I knew her friend's parents.
Well, look, Iris, thank you again for sharing all of those good parenting tips. I didn't hear you say anything about time out, which is one of my pet peeves. But anyway, thank you so much. I appreciate it so very much. We need to move on to yet another issue regarding safety. Just this week, the Prince George's County Council, by a vote of 9-2, passed a surveillance security camera law for apartment buildings of 100 units or more or senior designated housing. And I wanted to share this with you because before the vote, this is what some of the speakers had to say from the audience.
I don't go to the trash chute after dark. I don't go to the male alcove after dark. I don't want to get banged in my head in the parking lot trying to get from my car inside.
I think, you know, Sonia, this is... These are the critical voices from the community. Now, those two ladies were, you know, were older ladies. They were well-spoken. Their points were well-made. Yes, County Executive Angela Olsen Brooks has said for many, many months when this issue first came up that we can't afford it. She didn't say it was a bad idea. She said it was expensive. Council went on ahead and passed it. I think it's a good idea. We need to have eyes everywhere, but in balancing it with the cost, it's got to get done some kind of way.
I agree with that. I mean, security cameras are a necessity of life. Again,
have a Ring camera.
A Ring camera. I mean, it's part of the evolution of the society that we're living in. And yes, there should be working security cameras. There also should be working security.
Hmm.
Now, the cameras are great. If there's no one to monitor them and no one to respond to what's unfolding on that camera, does it help at all? And it's sad that as a society, we've reached the point where our seniors can't check their mail after dark. I mean, look, I don't stop in my mailbox after dark. I don't stop my car at the mailbox after dark. I don't do that.
You have one of those distant mailboxes in the community,
not on the house. Yeah. Because very few houses these days actually have the mail brought directly to their home, mm-hmm. or dropped in that mail slot in the door. You know, sometimes you have to go to the end of your very long driveway to get your mail, and you never know who's lurking for whatever reason. So they're absolutely right to be precautious that way. But again, if you don't have working security, the working security cameras can only do so much.
Yeah. Your thoughts about that, Nisha?
So, again, I'm really happy to see this initiative being taken to keep the residents safe, particularly when we hear so many stories of people in these high occupancy buildings or mm-hmm. senior living communities where people are truly preying on the residents. And so it's really great to see that the Prince George's County Council is saying enough is enough. We need to invest in security. That said, to Sonia's point, well, if no one is there to stop these criminals in the act, even if it's being caught on camera, then what is going to stop them from committing the crime exactly. altogether? And so I think that there needs to be continued investment. This is step one in what needs to probably be a few-step process to address crime in communities in Prince George's County. We know, to your point, that so much of the crime itself is interrelated. And so those same kids who are trying to do carjackings in D.C. are still going to Prince George's, mm-hmm. are still have friends there, are still doing the same TikTok challenges. And so we need personnel. We need people. We need, again, the people in these communities also volunteering to keep their neighborhoods safe. And so even when, you know, I wonder, again, are we hiring full-time security in every complex in addition to this?
So here's the issue regarding that. The legislation originally required, at least at the senior centers, a security guard.
Right.
But again, because of the cost, it being cost prohibitive, that was eliminated during committee. So we ended up with the electronic eyes on the building. And obviously, as I said, not just for senior housing, but apartments that have more than 100 units. Obviously, the advocates for property owners were gently against this issue. I mean, how much pushback can you give
right, yeah.
to this this security initiative. I think their issue is cost, and I'm sure down the road we're probably going to see some other issues regarding passing on the cost to the renters, and mm-hmm. I'm sure that's going to come up. Now, this is supposed to go into effect, the bill going into effect in December, but the owners of these properties have 6 months to come into compliance, so that's something to think about. Real quick, the executive order, 24 pages yesterday, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser cracking down on sexual harassment. You better not touch anybody in the district.
You better not look.
You better not.
Try not to breathe.
Don't blink.
Don't
wink.
I'm going to the store. Do you want me to get you a cup of coffee? What?
Yeah. At this point, no. None of that. Don't, you know, just don't be nice in anybody's direction. No. There's a part of me that is really happy to see aggressive action being taken on sexual harassment. The mayor had to do this because it was her right-hand man who got in the biggest amount of trouble for this, mm-hmm. at least most recently, on top of other allegations. I mean, we saw the numbers of the amount of complaints that the district has seen that really the Falciccio incident brought to light. And so I'm happy to see this aggressive approach. That said, she gave people until mid-November to say
we're dating. That's right. We are dating. We've been dating. Everything's fine. Yes. You know, we're shacking. We got a grandfather this rascal is. Yes. You know.
Yeah, and I just want to shout this out without putting my parents' business out there because they were married and happy. But I am a child of two DC government employees who fell in love, got married, and had me. And so, you know, I think that it can totally work. It was not superior employee.
Were they in the same division?
They were close enough.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously.
Stop that right here and there. Oh, my gracious.
No, I really don't know. I'll have to fact check that eventually. Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. But, I think that as long as there's healthy transparency and that there's no sort of conflict of interest or, again, superior employee, it can work. It can work.
But people have to be careful. And levity aside, this executive order is in place not just to protect the government, but it really is to protect people.
It's for sure. And it's something that has not really been a priority, I think, for too long. And I hope that this isn't the district really sets an example not only for other local governments, but for private organizations in general. Sexual mm-hmm. harassment cannot be tolerated. I love the notion of the statute of limitations not mattering when it comes to this. I mean, people can bring old stuff up if they feel if they still feel uncomfortable. And I think that's really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Real quick, Sonia, civil court case, Donald Trump, he can't seem to help himself. Real quick, your thoughts about where he and the family affair that we're going to see this week.
Well, I think it's wise to take notice of the way the enforcement of the gag orders, plural, are playing out. The former president was fined already.
Twice.
Yes.
And I've heard people commenting on this saying, that's not a lot of money. That's nothing to him. And he can drop that in a dime and keep right on talking. And my point about that is they're giving him as much leeway as possible to cooperate before they hit him with a hammer. And he can't seem to help himself.
What do you think that hammer might look like?
A day or two in jail. That certainly might be in his future in the case here before Judge Chutkan, who, you know, enforced the limited gag order, brought it back while he says he's going to appeal it. And she said, well, it will be enforced while you're appealing it. It is a limited gag order. He has some ability to say things, but what he seems to lack is an ability to control himself. Maybe he can listen to his counsel, who will tell him, dude, quit it, knock it off, or you're going to, this judge has the ability to put you in jail.
I don't think that he's going to be, number one, listening to his counsel. It was hard enough for him to get counsel.
It's clear he doesn't listen to his counsel.
But I say that because the longer these things have gone on over the past 3 years or so, the more difficult he is having with finding counsel that may be barred in certain areas, and those who want to take him and take these cases, because on one side you may have an attorney who says, well, I represented Donald Trump, but on the other hand you may have an attorney who says, oh my God, I represented Donald Trump. Right. and that could hurt business. So, you know, it'll certainly be interesting to continue to watch, particularly as we see, you know, what his children have to say. And certainly it has me looking very, very much forward to Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah. You know that term, flirting with disaster?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's exactly what he's got going on. Well,
that's
for
not
sure.
A flirt. That's a whole group.
Yes.
Right there. Without a doubt. Well,
and we know he's okay with that.
Yeah,
so.
Apparently so. Misha Green, Sonia Ross, thank you so much for joining this conversation. I really appreciate your time, ladies. I'm sure we'll be seeing you again.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, finally tonight, from fentanyl overdoses to a growing crime wave of carjackings, something is going on with our children. In some cases, it means something is also going on with their parents, if they're there at all. Well, I certainly hope these teenagers can be saved from themselves and the world they are raging against. I don't have an answer. But for the new parents with brand new babies, pay attention to what we're seeing with these teenagers right now. That way, when things start to go left with your children, you can nip it in the bud with good parenting. That's the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, November 1st. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.